If you would turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4, we're going to be in 4 and 5 mainly. We're going to skip around a little bit, but mainly going to stay in Ephesians 4 and 5. As you're getting there, let me pray. Oh Lord, come minister to us today. Minister your wisdom, your insight, your love, your compassion, your joy. Holy Spirit, take over. Use me or even whoever else you want to use this morning to just to manifest your love, to manifest your power and might, that your glory might come. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come down a little bit closer to you all this morning. I get the feeling that God's going to throw a curve at me this morning, so just bear with me, because what I have prepared may not be exactly where God's going. So if I take a left-hand turn, if I see the turn coming, I'll try to tell you before it comes, so that we all make the turn together, okay? Before Easter, I had been talking about sonship and the blessings that come in sonship. And if you recall, I said, ladies, you're included in that. And I'm going to just use the biblical language. Don't throw up a red flag. Don't stop listening to me, because I declare the sonship and the inheritance in the sonship, okay? You guys are included as well, right? Because we are all sons and daughters of our King, of our God. And as much as you ladies need to recognize that you inherit as a son, guys, I've got news for you. We're the bride of Christ. So as much as our lady sisters here have to recognize they inherit as a son, guys, you're going to look really great in a dress. We're the bride of Christ, and we have to realize that, you know, it's synonymous. We can't just get into this gender role area. There are these metaphors that are going back and forth. We talked about the inheritance through sonship and blessing. We talked about that in it's really promised in Jacob with Isaac blessing Jacob. We see a twofold blessing. Number one, we saw that there was an inheritance, a literal physical inheritance, and Jacob bought that, or he sold it to he bought it from Esau. Esau didn't want the inheritance. A bowl of stew was a lot more important to him. And because of that, we see in the New Testament, he despised the inheritance, and God loved Jacob and he hated Esau. Well, that's something that if you really try to wrap your mind around that, God hating somebody. Esau despised the inheritance. He despised the physical nature, the sheep and cattle, the goats, the tents and everything of his father. Jacob, however, desired the inheritance. Now, Esau wanted the blessing because the blessing was power. The blessing extended even further. The blessing was a blessing of the power to make wealth, the power to be provided for, the power to be great in the world. And Esau, he despised the inheritance, but you know, he still wanted that power of the blessing. But because he had despised the inheritance, God made sure that Jacob got the blessing as well. We saw that it's further goes down that we are sons of Abraham, but there was a power that came. And the power that comes in the blessing of a spiritual father, Moses and Joshua, we see that Moses had the blessing and the power and the might of God, and it transferred to Joshua. And Joshua, when they went into the promised land, it said there's never been a time like the time when Joshua prayed and God heard the prayer of a man and stopped the sun. We see it with Elijah and Elisha, the power of the prophet. And that the power of the prophet went from Elijah to Elisha. And you see a huge number of miracles from calling down a fire from heaven to the raising of the dead, to the mauling of some boys that Elisha had cursed, to the fire coming down and burning up some soldiers. I mean, that miracle after miracle with Elijah and Elisha. And it ultimately all comes down to Jesus. Jesus. Jesus has the promise in inheritance of Abraham. He's the son of Abraham, but not only that, he was blessed by a spiritual father. He was blessed by Elijah. As God said, you know, that John the Baptist was Elijah who came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And if you notice, when Jesus went to the Jordan, he was baptized by John. Immediately, that's when you see the power of God come on him. He goes into the desert. He's tempted by the devil for 40 days, and he comes out in power, doing miracles and signs and wonders. And I mentioned, how do we receive these blessings? When you become a new creation, when you turn to Jesus and you say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to follow you all of my days. I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you all of my sin, all my doubt, all my yuck and mess and filth. I believe that you can take that from me and I, in turn, give me your righteousness. You become a new creation and you become an inheritor of Abraham. However, there is power that comes through a spiritual father, just with as we saw with Jesus, as we saw with Moses and Joshua, as we saw with Elijah and Elisha, the power of the blessing of a spiritual father. Let me tell you, at the heart of receiving this blessing, I talked about submission and being submitted, but the heart of it, the nature of it, is, and I did not plan this. Okay, Ruth talked about, you know, the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, and it's really it's more than that. It's talking about Christ and his bride, the church. The nature of blessing and how we need to interact with each other is love. It's love. And it comes through family. I've got a lot here to cover. I'm going to try to go over it quickly, but at the same time, I pray that it's clear. We've talked at length about Ephesians 4 and the ministry gifts, the offices of Ephesians 4, apostles, prophet, evangelist, and the pastor-teacher gift. It comes down to verse 16. It said, from the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The way that the body is empowered, the way that we receive blessing, the way that we have a spiritual father to bless us is by acting in love with each other. Now, Paul uses a couple of examples here. Number one, he uses the example of a body. Okay, you see this in Romans 12 also. There's a body. Okay, we've got a head, we've got arms, we've got hands, we've got a torso, we've got legs and feet. It would be very, very silly if every time my right hand went out to reach out and get a drink, my left hand went, nope, don't do that. And I reached to get a pencil and start writing. And the kids are going, he's really silly. We've got a really silly. Or if I'm walking, my left foot decided it was going to trip my right foot up. Every time I took a step, it was going to stick itself out and trip me up. And you go, that's craziness. You don't do that. Who does that? Anybody? Your hands fight each other, right? Your legs are trying to go two different ways at one time. It's a silly illustration, but you know what? We're a body, and that's exactly what happens. And not just this body, but the body extended. We are the body of Christ. All those people who call themselves by the name of Jesus. You know, not everybody who's in church is part of the body, right? But all those who are calling themselves by the name of Jesus are part of the body of Christ. And let me tell you what, we are divided and we fall because, you know, one hand's going this direction, the other's going this way. Then you end up fighting each other. Right? There was a Christian comedian by the name of Mike Warnke back in the late 80s. I remember him saying that, you know, we're the only group that we spend most of our time fighting each other or shining our own armor. It's because we don't act in love. We don't act in love with each other here. We don't act in love with the rest of the body of Christ. Now, how do we do that? I've got several ways here this morning. Let me try to just sum them up for you a little bit. In the rest of Ephesians 4, verse 17 through the end of the chapter, we read just a couple of verses. Verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Who is the old man? Come on, we've talked about this before. Who? Okay, who is that? When God sees the earth, he sees two men. Adam. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. That's it. There's only two options. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. Okay? If you're in Adam, Adam's dead. If you're in Christ, Christ is alive. Right? Didn't we just celebrate that he's alive? In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which is in the likeness of God. It's been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. If you're going to act in love, you have to be born again. There's no other way around it. True love only comes from the Father of love. You have to get out of all of the junk of Adam and get into all of the life and love of Jesus. That's it. Because we cannot love one another the way that we should if we're not in Christ. Now, I'm hoping and believing everyone in here is a new man. I say a new man, you're part of the body of Christ. The part of being the body of Christ that Paul is talking about here this morning is that we need to walk in accordance with that decision. He used to be this way. He used to be full of the flesh. He used to be full of pride and lust and gossip. And you used to be carnally minded. And you used to, Paul says, you know what? All that's passed away. Now walk in life. I'm going to try to go by here pretty quickly. I just want to make sure everybody's tracking with me, right? Get out of the old man. Get into the new. If you're a new creation, walk like it. Act like it. Talk like it. And be, number two, imitators of God. I'm going to spend a little bit more time here. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Who is God's only begotten child? Jesus, thank you. Our example of how we should be children of God comes from the relationship of God the Father and God the Son. Does that make sense? Last time I was talking about this, I talked that Jesus was fully submitted to the Father. Jesus said, everything that I do, I don't do anything unless I see the Father doing it. If I don't see the Father doing it, I don't move. He was fully submitted to God the Father. How could he be that way? Love. Love. Let me show you this a couple of... Flip over to the gospel. Keep your finger there in Ephesians. We're going to come back. Flip over to John. Gospel of John. John chapter, let's start in 13. John 13:34. Now, this is just before John gives a huge portion of his gospel to the events just prior to in the crucifixion. Okay, so this is when they're in the upper room, it was right after the Lord's Supper. 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. 35, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Keep going to chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love one another. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Flip over to John chapter 5. Verse 20, the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing, and the Father will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel. Our example must be that of Jesus, the Father and Jesus. The Father loved the Son with all of his heart. Jesus kept the first and greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There's this mutual love between the Father and the Son. Because Jesus loved the Father, Jesus loves the Father, says, okay, Father, whatever you have for me to do, I'm going to do it. The Father says, go to the cross. Oh. Father, if there's any way that this cup can pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. He says, I give my life up freely. Nobody takes it from me. Do you see it? God the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father. In the mutual love between each other, between the two of them, Jesus says, okay, I am fully submitted to my Father. I'm going to obey because I love you. And Paul says, imitate that love, for you are children of God. Jesus, you notice, he takes that to the disciples and he says, I have loved you, you love one another. If you love me, you're going to do what? We just read it. If you love me, you're going to show me you love me by doing what? Say again. By keeping my commandments. You see it? Jesus loved the Father, and he did whatever the Father said. Jesus gives it to the disciples, says, love one another, love me. If you love me, you're going to follow what I say. You're going to do what I say if you love me. You see, the love just keeps on compiling there. And he says to us, you be imitators of God. God is as a Father, and God is also a Son. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, just as Christ loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. So you've become a Christian. You're saying, okay, I'm going to follow Jesus. You're going to imitate Jesus. And Paul says, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. What he's saying there is that if you talk about it, it incites those things. Don't even talk about it. There must be no filthiness or silly talk, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who's an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Look, we have to follow and imitate God. Imitate the relationship of God the Father and God the Son. What is that? It's love. It's love, each and every one of us. Number one, you got to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is the greatest commandment. If you love the Father, if you love the Son, you're going to obey His commandments. If you don't obey His commandments, you better check your love. That means getting out of all the junk and being like Christ. Look at verse 18. Imitate, we're going to, number one, be a new creation, imitate God and His Son, Jesus. Verse 18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that's dissipation, but be continually filled with the Spirit. Be continually filled with the Spirit. By the way, you probably didn't notice, we went over it, just I glossed over. When we were in John, and John is and Jesus is saying, follow my commands. If you love me, you're going to follow my commandments. In those passages, John 14, 15, 16, right in the midst of it, he says, and my Spirit's there. If you love me, you'll keep, this is John 14 again. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him, because He abides with you and will be in you. You see that? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. How? By the Spirit. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. We have to be continually filled with the Spirit. Have to be continually filled. That's we were just starting to learn about verb tenses, weren't we? Huh, kids? And there, in the Greek, there's a continuous tense, right? This is a continuous. This is a present continuous. Be continually filled with the Spirit. If you want to love, if you want to operate in love, if you want to walk in love, how's it going to come? By the Spirit. Now he outlines that a little bit here. How are you walking in the Spirit? How are you continually being filled with the Spirit? You're speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Tell you this last week, about the last week and a half, continually I've had the songs that we did for Easter going through my head. I mean, I'd wake up in the morning, they'd go through my head all night long, just over and over and over and over. Continually making having these songs in our hearts, speaking to each other in hymns, spiritual songs. A hymn, it was a song of praise, and it was often accompanied by a harp, and it was a song of praise to usually a false god, but they've taken that over and said, okay, it's a hymn and a song of praise to God. I believe what Paul is making reference to in 1 Corinthians, he says, I will sing with my mind, and I will sing with my spirit. I'll, I will pray with my mind. I'll pray with my spirit. Are you continually having those thoughts of praise and adoration and worship on your mind and in your heart? Are you continually seeing what God is doing in life? Verse 20, there's the number three is be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, giving thanks. I'm going to do those two together. Continually giving thanks to the Lord. Let me tell you what, if you are walking in love and walking with the Spirit, you're going to be giving thanks at all times. How many of you all are thankful people? I know you are. That when we look at something, it's seeing what God is doing or seeing what others are doing and saying thank you. Hold the door for somebody holds the door for you. Thank you very much. You see somebody doing something in the church. Hey, thank you for doing that. I know it took time out of your day to come up here and shovel or come up here and clean. Thank you. Thank you for watching the kids. Thank you for taking care of making sure they all have their costumes on. Thank you for teaching the kids. I mean, this theology book is incredible. I mean, it's on a kid's level, but goodness, if we could just grasp what's in there ourselves. Thank you. Let's make sure our kids are trained up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you for cooking dinner tonight. Thank you for the love that you have. Thank you for the goodness and the grace. Being thankful to God and thankful to others. You want to show love to others? Be thankful. Thank the worship team up here who comes in and gives their extra time every Sunday. And it's giving of their talents, that God has given them talents. Thank them for giving up the time and the effort to come and to lead everybody in worship. Are we a thankful people? If you want to share the love of God, be thankful. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, you're giving praise to the Lord. We're speaking to each other with those things. Always praising God, telling what great and glorious and awesome things God has done in our lives. We're giving thanks for all the things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Now maybe we should skip this next one. Maybe we can just take that out. How is it that we should be filled with the Spirit? Speaking to one another and singing and making melody with our heart, giving thanks at all times, and being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. How do we do that? Paul gives a list. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now wait a second, as before I go into this list, I'm just going to tell you these, okay? I started out by saying it's a family. We are a family. Please get that into your hearts. Let me say it a couple, three more times. We're a family. We're the family of God. We need to be treating each other like family. And Paul gives the family concept here. Wives, be subject to your husbands in the Lord. And he goes through and he says, why? Why? Because he wants the husband to beat the wife, right? No. What he says, it's what Ruth was saying. It's a vision of Christ in the church. Are you subject to Jesus? We're a family. Is he the head? Are we the bride of Christ? Yes. Is he the husband? Yes. Are you subject to him? Yes. That's the idea. That's what we're looking at. That the relationship of husband and wife, me and Ruth, that is simply an example of Christ in the church. That's the reality. This is just type and shadow. The reality is Jesus and his bride, the church, and we mimic that. So if we're going to love, we are going to be a family. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Husbands, love your wife. Now, by the way, God gives us these commands because these are the things that are not easy. If they came naturally, he wouldn't give them to us. Right? I mean, you don't see in there, please eat 3 meals a day. Why? Because we get hungry and we're going to eat. Right about now. He doesn't say, there's not a command in there to please take a shower when you stink. Okay? There's not a command in there to make sure that every pleasure that you want is given to you. No, because that's what we want. That's easy. He gives the command because these are the hard things. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Well, how did he love the church? When we talk about hard, that's a lot more difficult than the be subject to your husband thing. Ruth talked about Adam and Eve and the rib that came out of Adam's side to make Eve. Well, Jesus was pierced in his side, and out of that blood that flowed came his bride. We're a family. Wives, be subject to your husbands. Husbands, love your wife. Children. Uh-oh. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Very interesting little phrase there. You know why I think he's got it said that way? Because this is an example of the church. He goes very specific into the family relationship. The husband and wife, okay, is an example of Christ in the church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Does that mean kids? Yes, kids. If you're a kid, raise your hand. That means you're under like 13 and down. Obey your parents. For this is the only, this is the first commandment, thank you, with a promise. So that you will may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. You know why that? You know why it says so that you may be well with you and that you may live a long, long time on the earth? Because in the Old Testament, there was a command that if you had a rebellious child, you're supposed to take him out beyond the city gates and stone him. So if you don't obey your parents, will make sure that you have a short life on the earth. Yes, that's a command. It's It's in Deuteronomy. If you want, I'll find it for you and show it to you later. But we are a family. Obey your parents in the Lord. Who's your spiritual parent? Who's your spiritual father? If we're a family, there's dads. There's moms. And if you want to have a fruitful life, you act in love. I love my kids. There's four beautiful girls back there. Those are just my pride and joy. I love them so much. I mean, it's just, I'll probably start crying here because it overflows of love for these kids. I want the best for them. Does that mean I don't discipline them? Absolutely not, because I want the best. If I let them just go run wild, that shows I don't love them very much. Do they get in scrapes? Yeah. Do I hug them? Yeah, I do. I love them. I love when they run up to me and before I leave to go anywhere and one of them comes up every time, great big hug, almost knocks me over. You know what? I love them. I love you guys. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Fathers, don't exasperate the kids. Verse 5 of chapter 6. Notice that these are all family concepts. Husband, wife. It's Ruth's fault. Husband and wife. Children. Slaves, obey your masters. Because in the ancient times, the slaves were part of the family. And it's still a family concept. Slaves, obey your masters. Masters, don't treat them badly. So what he wanted to do is the slaves to have this heart attitude of, you know what, I'm a Christian and my master is a Christian, but I'm going to serve him with all of my heart because I'm going to do it for Jesus. And the master would say, you know what, I'm a Christian and he's a Christian, and I'm going to take care of him like my child. I'm going to do it out of love. And you know what? The same goes for us. If you're working for a Christian employer, just because they're a Christian and just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you get to go up to them and say, hey, we're all one in the Lord. My turn today. You go work out here. I'm going to sit in your office and take it easy. No, he's saying, you know what? We're a family. And in this family relationship, God has put headship and God has put people in charge, whether that's in the charge of the church or whether that's in charge of business or whether that's in charge of our actual household. God's put people in charge. Now, you all are to love one another. And each of those, we must operate out of love. God wants to bless his family. He wants to bless his family. He wants to bless his kids. That's his heart. His heart is to be that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and lay his hands on us and to bless us and to make let us go so much further and to bless us with provision and bless us with success and bless us with every spiritual blessing. But if we don't act in love, I gotta tell you, sometimes my girls don't act in love. I'll take it one step further. Sometimes Ruth and I don't act in love. Have a little bit of intense fellowship. None of you all ever have that happen, do you? You know what? It's not a blessing. If we're at odds with each other, I'm not blessing her and she's not blessing me. But you know what? When we love each other, and I'm saying, okay, baby, whatever I can do to help you, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to give of myself. I'm going to go 100% to serve you. And she in turn's going, you know what? Whatever you need, I'm going to serve you. If you need me to do this, I'm going to do it with all of my heart. And we're each trying to outdo each other in love for one another. You want to tell you what? Oh, that's when it's a sweet, sweet relationship. Do we do that in this family? That each one of you is trying to outdo the other person in service? Hey, how can I bless you? What can I do? Do you need some food? Oh, okay, I'll bring you some. Do you need a phone call? I'll phone you up every day if I need to, just to encourage you. Well, how can I bless you today? How can I be a service to you? Is there anything that I have that you need? Oh, there is? Oh, here. You need this shirt? I'll give you the shirt off my back. How can I bless you in love? Because I love you and I'm going to do everything I can to show you that I love you. Is that what we do? Do you get to know each other? I know Ruth. I know where she grew up. I know her family. I don't know everything about her. I'm trying. I know her family. I know the family dynamics. I know the relationships. I know how she grew up in church. I know the different dynamics of that church. I know what's in her heart. I know her passions. I know what makes her mad. Do you know that about everybody in here? How much do you love? How much are you serving? And I'm not meaning just coming up here to the church and vacuuming the rug. And well, that's great, and I bless you, and I thank you, and praise God for all of that. But I'm talking about serving each other, not serving the building. Serving each other and loving each other and letting this be a family. Let me finish with this right here. If we will get this family concept, this is what will happen. When you become a son, you begin to be a father to more sons. When you become a daughter, you begin to be a mother to more daughters. But it starts with love, and it starts with family, and it starts with this heart issue. Are we going to act in love towards one another? Are we going to submit to each other? Not because we have to. It's not a have-to thing. My heart is compelled by the Spirit of God to submit my life. And in that submission, I'm doing it because I love Jesus and because this is what He's commanded me. I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it because He's commanded me to do it. And I'm going to love Him, and I'm going to love others, and I'm going to love, I'm going to wholeheartedly pursue this. And what happens is God will turn around and say, "Blessed are you, my son and my daughter." And you'll have more sons and daughters. Let me pray for us.